弟兄姐妹早上好。
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
我们很高兴主日再一次的相见。
We're very glad to meet each other again on this Sunday morning.
因为在耶稣基督里，我们彼此的一起的敬拜是何等的甘甜，何等的美好。
It is so sweet that when we are in Christ, our worship will be to God.
今天是我们所讲的耶稣所讲的故事这个系列的第七讲。
Today I will be speaking on the seventh lesson on the stories that Jesus told.
也是最后一讲。
It is also the last one.
那么这七个故事呢，涵盖了不同的主题。
And these seven stories cover different things.
那前四个故事呢，是关乎我们今世的关系和利益。
The first four stories are concerned about our relationship in this life and the profits we have.
我们首先讲的是浪子回头的故事。
The first story was on the prodigal son.
那么这里阐述的是我们与上帝的关系。
And that story tells about the relationship between us and God.
我们第二个讲的是好撒玛利亚人的故事。
And the second story is about the good Samaritan.
那么阐明的是人与人之间的关系。
It tells about the relationship between people and people.
那接下来不义的管家还有才干这两个故事。
And then followed by two stories on the unrighteous servant, the unrighteous housekeeper, and the talents, story on the talents.
那告诉我们应该怎么样使用我们的钱财和才干。
They tell us how to use our resources, our money, and our talents.
那么最后三个故事是关乎未来。
And the last three stories concern about our future.
那么财主和拉撒路的故事启示我们地狱的真实。
The story about the rich man and Lazarus tells us about the story in hell.
那么十个童女的故事提醒我们要预备好耶稣基督的再来。
And the story of the ten virgins reminds us to prepare for Christ's return.
现在我们一起来思想。今天我们来思想的这个故事是绵羊和山羊的比喻。
And today we will consider the story about the goat and the sheep.
那么这个是告诉我们耶稣基督将来在末日的审判。
And this story tells about the judgment that Christ will have at the end of the age.
所以我们今天看的经文是在马太福音的第25章31到46节。
The passage we will be looking at is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46.
你如果有圣经的话，请打开马太福音的第25章31到46节。
So if you have your Bible, please turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46.
马太福音第25章31节这样讲。
Verse 31.
当人子在他荣耀里同着众天使降临的时候，要坐在他荣耀的宝座上。
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory.
这里讲的人子就是指的耶稣基督。
The Son of Man is Jesus Christ.
那么这是耶稣在福音书里常的有的自称。
This is how Jesus called himself very much in the Gospels.
这一节经文里头两次提到了荣耀。
In this verse, the word glory mentioned twice.
并有众天使。
And the angels.
那么这显然是指耶稣再来时的情景。
So this is a condition when Jesus returns.
所以耶稣基督的再来与他第一次到世上是完全不同的。
So Jesus' second coming and his first arrival to the earth are totally different.
那么当耶稣基督第一次来到世上，他是卑微的降世人间。
When he first came to the earth, he was born very humble.
现在他只是满有神的荣耀。
The second coming, he is full of God's glory.
这里讲到他坐在宝座上。
Here it says that he sits on his throne.
那就代表着基督有着审判的权柄。
Which means that he has the authority to judge.
那么他审判的对象乃是万民。
And the people that he will be judging will be the nations.
那么第三十二节他讲万民都要聚集在他面前。
Verse 32, before him shall be gathered all nations.
他要把他们分别出来，好像牧羊的分别绵羊山羊一般。
And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats.
这里的比喻呢，就是说用了当时人们所习惯的一个牧羊人的情况。
So Jesus used what the people are familiar with about the shepherds in this parable.
那么绵羊和山羊他们在当时这个巴勒斯坦地区呢，牧羊人常常是把他们放在一起来牧羊的。
So in the Palestine area, usually the shepherds would gather together the goat and sheep together as he shepherds them.
这样便于管理。
So it's easier to manage.
但是到晚上他们又把它分别开来。
But at night, he would separate them.
因为这个绵羊跟山羊的生活习惯不一样。
Because the sheep and the goats have different lifestyle.
所以这里讲，基督再来，他会像当时的牧羊人一样，会有这样的分别。
So when Christ comes back, he will do as the shepherds do, just separate the goat and sheep.
所以第33节说，他要把绵羊放在右面，山羊在左边。
So in verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left.
那么这里面呢，在古代啊，这个右边啊，常常是代表一个更重要的、更好的、地位更高的。
So in ancient times, on the right hand represents a more important, more higher, and then more valuable position.
而且确实，绵羊的价值一般的来说是比山羊要更高一些。
And indeed, the price of sheep are higher than the price of goats.
那么在这之后，我们发现这个故事呢，绵羊和山羊就消失了。
Then, at this point, the goats and sheep disappeared from the story.
所以从34节开始，耶稣呢是一个平铺直叙的方式来讲述这个故事。
So beginning verse 34, Jesus narrates the story straightforward to tell the story.
所以34节说，于是王向那右边的说。
So in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand.
那么这里面的王啊，就是指的耶稣基督。
And the king refers to Jesus Christ.
那么这右边的呢，那我们从37节可以看到，就是那些义人。
In verse 37, we can see the people on the right will be the righteous ones.
所以这个王说，你们这蒙我父赐福的，可来承受那创世以来为你们所预备的国。
So in verse 34, the king says, Come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
因为我饿了，你们给我吃，喝了。你们给渴了，你们给我喝，我做客旅，你们留我住。
For I was hungry and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in.
我赤身露体，你们给我穿，我病了，你们看顾我，我在监里，你们来看我。
Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me.
37节，义人就回答说，主啊，我们什么时候见你饿了就给你吃，渴了给你喝？
And verse 7, shall the righteous answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink?
什么时候见你做客旅留你住，或是赤身露体给你穿？
And when did we see you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you?
又什么时候见你病了，或是在监里来看你呢？
And when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you?
王要回答说，我实在告诉你们，这些事你们既坐在我这弟兄中一个最小的身上，就是坐在我身上了。
And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least, of these my brethren, you have done it unto me.
那41节，王又向那右边的说。
In verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand.
那这左边的这里面是代表那些不义的人。
And the people on the left represent those people who are unrighteous.
我们特别注意到从41节发现跟34节这是一个明显的对称的关系。
And then beginning verse 41, we can see a very clear contrast from beginning verse 34.
耶稣在这里是有意的重复。
And Jesus intentionally repeated the same phrasing.
这些重复既是强调这部分内容的重要。
And this repetition emphasizes the importance of these phraseology.
也是对照两组不同人群的态度和结果。
And also contrasts the different attitude and outcome of these two different group of people.
所以41节王说，你们这被诅咒的人离开我，进入那位魔鬼和他的使者所预备的熔火里去。
So in verse 41, the king said, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
42节，因为我饿了，你们不给我吃，渴了，你们不给我喝。
In verse 44, when I was hungry, you did not give me meat. I was thirsty, you did not give me drink.
我做客旅，你们不留我住，我赤身露体，你们不给我穿，我病了，我在监里，你们不来看顾我。
And verse 43, I was a stranger and you took me not in, naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visit me not.
第44节，他们也要回答说，主啊，我们什么时候见你饿了或渴了，或做客旅，或赤身露体，或病了，或在监里，不伺候你呢？
And verse 44, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord,When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto you?
45节，王要回答说，我实在告诉你们，这些事你们既不坐在我这弟兄中一个最小的身上，就是不坐在我身上了。
And verse 45, then shall he answer them saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not,to one of these, least of these, you did it not to me.
那第46节，耶稣做了一个总结。
And then Jesus concluded in verse 46.
那么，这些人要往永刑里去，那些义人要往永生里去。
These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
所以义人将进入神的国。
So the righteous will enter God's kingdom.
那些不义的人将进入熔火里去。
And the unrighteous will go into eternal fire.
那个地方乃是为魔鬼和他的天使所预备。
And that place was prepared for the devil and his angels.
所以我们看两组群体有着一个截然不同的结局。
So we see that these two group of people have a totally different outcome.
对于这个故事啊，带给这个释经学家有很多的疑问啊。
And this story casts a lot of questions for expositors, Bible expositors.
首先，这些万民到底是代表了哪些人？
First of all, the people of the nations, who do they represent?
是否包括这个信徒的群体呢？
Do they include the believers?
那么右边的义人又是哪些人？
And who are those righteous people on the right hand?
那么耶稣在40节和45节又提到说，我这弟兄，那么这些弟兄
又是哪些人？And in verses 40 and 45, Jesus mentioned my brethren, and who are Jesus' brethren?
另外一个最大的问题，好像耶稣在判断的时候是根据这些人的行为而言的。
And another most problematic question is that Jesus judges his people based on their works.
那难道这些人是因为他们的行为得救吗？
Is it because of their good works that they are saved?
我们一直说我们是因为我们的信心得救，靠信心得救。
Because we have been saying that we are being saved by our faith.
下面我们就来仔细的思想这个基督审判世界啊，那个通过这段故事所启示我们的啊。
So next we will consider what Jesus is teaching us through this story.
那这个故事是在耶稣上十字架前三天所讲的。
This story was told 3 days before Jesus went on the cross.
按照马太福音的记载呢，应当是耶稣所讲的最后一个故事。
According to the records of the book of Matthew, this should be the last story that Jesus told.
那这个重要性是不言而喻的。
So its importance is very obvious.
但是却是耶稣所有的故事当中这个最少提到的一个。
But this is a story least mentioned in all the stories of Jesus.
这是因为啊，这个基督再来的这个事情是将来要发生的事。
That's because Jesus' return is something that will happen in the future.
那么圣经中的预言呢，并没有告诉我们所有的细节。
And the biblical prophecies did not tell us all the details about Jesus' second coming.
所以解释这个经文呢，我们会遇到很多困难。
So in interpreting this passage, we face many difficulties.
但是解释这个故事的关键呢，不是在那些不确定的细节上去纠缠。
But the key to interpret this story is not to be entangled in the unclear points.
所以我们要抓住耶稣借着这个故事所讲的那个主要信息是什么。
But to get hold of the main message that Jesus wants to convey through this story.
我想大概有三个信息是确定的。
I think there are 3 messages that are very clear and sure.
这也是所有的解经学家都同意的。
And this is agreed upon by all the Bible expositors.
第一个就是说基督一定会再来的。
First is that for sure Jesus will come back.
而且他再来的时候是满有荣耀和能力。
And when he returns, he will be full of glory and power.
那么第二个基督必定会审判。
The second, everyone is sure that Jesus will for sure send out his judgment.
那么天下所有的人都在基督的权柄之下。
And all human beings under heaven will be under Jesus' authority.
那么在现在有人说，我是相信的，我在基督的权柄之下。
So we can say, I'm a believer now, so I'm under Christ's authority.
那么有人说，我是不相信的，基督他管不到我。
Some people say, I don't believe, so Jesus has no control over me.
但是当那一天的时候，这个情况完全的会改变。
But at that day, the situation will be totally changed.
那么第三个就是基督审判的标准。
And the third is Christ's standard of his judgment.
那么这个标准呢，就是我们与基督的关系。
And this standard is based on our relationship with Christ.
你看35节、36节说，因为我饿了你们给我吃，渴了你们给我喝。
Because in verses 35 to 36, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink.
所以我们之所以可以进入神的国，是因为我们跟基督有这种关系。
And the reason that we can enter God's kingdom is because we have that relationship with Jesus.
我们看到这两组人，没有人怀疑他们的结局是与基督的关系来决定的。
So these two, the outcome of these two different groups is dependent upon their relationship with Christ.
他们的疑问是什么？他们的疑问说，这个事情是什么时候发生的？
And the question that they have is, when did this happen?
他们的疑问不是说因为和基督的关系哈。
But it's not because of their relationship with Jesus.
那么至34节这个以后我们看到大概有三组不同的人群出现啊。
Beginning in verse 34, we see that 3 groups of people appeared.
那么在王右边的是一些义人。
The righteous people on the right hand of the king.
那么在往左边的是那些不义的人。
And the unrighteous people on the left hand of the king.
那么接下来我们就来思考，这个耶稣说他的弟兄到底应该是哪些人。
And then Jesus' brethren, and we will consider who these people are.
那这个故事呢，我们知道第一个听众呢就是耶稣的门徒。
We know that the first audience of this story was Jesus' disciples.
那么耶稣讲我的弟兄，自然是指他们而言。
So when you talk about my brethren, it refers to the people, the disciples.
这也就代表了末日之时所有的信徒。
Which represent all the believers at the end time.
那么三十二节讲的这个万民到指的是哪些人呢？
So who are the people of the nations in verse 32?
所以这个万民呢，乃是指耶稣基督再来的时候，世上还在的那些人。
So the nations, people of the nations represent the people who are on the earth when Jesus returns.
他们可能来自不同的国家，来自不同的民族。
They may be from different countries, different ethnicities.
他们将在耶稣基督的面前接受审判。
And they will face the judgment before Christ.
那么因着在大灾难中他们对待基督徒的态度。
And based on how they treat Christians during the Great Tribulation.
而决定他们的命运。
That decides their destiny.
那么现在呢，我们可以选择是否相信耶稣。
And now we can decide whether to choose to believe Jesus.
但是将来人人都要面对他的判断。
But in the future, everyone will face his judgment.
所以基督再来啊，将有三次不同的审判。
So when Christ comes, there will be three different judgments.
那第一次呢，就是在基督台前的审判。
First is before the Bema seat of Christ.
那个时候就是所有死去的信徒要复活。
At that time, all the dead Christians will resurrect.
那么所有在世的信徒将被提。
And all the believers who are still alive will be raptured.
所以我们要在基督面前交账。
So we will give an account before the Bema seat of Christ.
那么这个第二次的审判呢，就是基督降临时的审判。
And the second judgment will be when Jesus comes back publicly.
那就是我们现在所讲的，这个基督再来的时候，当时地上所有还在世的人要在他面前接受审判。
Which is this judgment referred in this story that all the people on the earth will be judged before Christ.
那么一些人进入上帝的国度，另外一些人则会沉沦。
Some people will enter God's kingdom and some others will perish.
所以这个审判跟我们所常常提到白色大宝座的审判是不一样的。
So this judgment is different from what we talked about the judgment before the great white throne.
Yeah, 因为那个白色大宝座的审判是在千禧年之后。
Because the great white throne judgment will happen after the millennial kingdom.
那么所有死去的人都要复活。
All the dead will rise.
在基督面前接受他的判断。
And receive the judgment before Christ.
所以这是第三次的审判。
And that is a third judgment.
所以世界上所有尚未经历基督审判的人，到那个时候他们都要接受基督的裁决。
So all the people in the world who have not appeared before the judgment seat of Christ before will be judged here.
所以我们现在知道了基督的审判，也知道他的标准到底是什么。
So here we know about the three judgments and the standards of his judgment.
我们不知道大家有没有上过法庭的经历哈。
I don't know if you have the experience of appearing at the court.
那到了法庭上的话，你一般要跟那个法官讲，你都要陈述事实。
So when you appear before the judge at the court, you have to tell the truth.
而且那个法官呢，到了法庭是有规矩的，他让你说话你就说话，他不让你说话你就不可以讲话。
And you can speak when the judge says you can, and you cannot speak when he does not allow you to speak.
如果那个法官最后说是怎么样，那就是怎么样，你是同意也罢，不同意也罢，你是没有办法。
The judge has his final words, whether you agree or disagree.
因为这美国的法庭它是一样，它是根据这个证据和事实来讲话。
So in the court in the U.S., it's based on facts and evidence.
我以前有这个经历，是专门去上法庭，有一个事情。
I had experience of going to of appearing at a court because one issue.
那是因为我这个想每年要交房地产税，我说这个县政府给我这个数字不对，我要申诉，希望他可以减免一些。
I went to the court for appealing of on my property tax because I feel the county assessors did not assess it correctly. So I was appealing for a deduction, a reduction of my property tax.
那你知道这个情况呢？一般这个法官呢，跟这个县政府的这个专门管房地产税的，他们是一致的了。
But you know, in situations like this, the judge will always work with the county assessor's office. They agree together.
因为这是关系到县政府的这个财政收入的问题，他轻易不会给你减免。
Because it concerns the income for the county government, and they will not give you a reduction.
所以呢，你每次去的时候，第一次去跟他讲半天，最后我这个准备的也不充分。人家根本就不同意，那就把我打发回来。
So the first time I appeared at the court because I didn't prepare enough evidence or facts, they rejected me.
那第二次呢，我就仔细的研究他的这个政策啊。
And the second time I appeared, I studied in detail of their policy.
然后我准备了好多的证据，然后按照他的条文规定来准备。
And I prepare a lot of evidences based on their rules.
所以第二次去到了这个法庭上，这个法官虽然他还是很偏向这个县政府的这个判断，但是他有事实和证据，他也不得不给我这个减免。
So the second time when I appeared before the judge, even though he was in line with the county office, but because of all the evidences that I presented, he agreed to my reduction.
所以到了法官面前，那看的要是事实和证据。
所以 when we appear before the judge, they will evaluate our evidences and our facts.
对，当耶稣基督做判断的时候也是同样，他看的事实和证据。
So it's the same with Jesus when he make his judgment. It's based on facts and evidence.
所以对于我们福音派的基督徒读这段故事，我们最大的疑问呢，就是在这里。
So for the evangelicals, here is the most problematic for us.
因为我们说得救不是靠着信心吗？为什么耶稣判断是按照行为来判断？
Because we say our salvation is based on believing in him. How come here is based on their deeds?
没有错，我们基督徒所讲的行为不能为我们赚得救恩。
It's true that Christians believe that our works will not earn our salvation.
但是这不等于说基督徒可以没有行为。
But this doesn't mean that Christians do not have to have good works.
因为这是两个不同的概念。
Because these are two different concepts.
因为恰恰相反，我们的行为是印证了我们的信心。
Because our deeds, our works, prove our faith.
所以将来我们见基督的时候，我们不能说我有信心，我就可以。
So when we see Christ, we cannot say, "Oh, I have faith, then I'm okay."
你有信心，你必然会有行为。
Because when you have faith, you will have works.
所以那些在大灾难中乐意帮助受迫害的这些基督徒的话。
So during the Great Tribulation, those people who are willing to help those suffering Christians,
正是因为他们有了对基督的信心，才能做出这样的壮举。
It's because they do have faith in Christ, so they can carry out their deeds.
因为在敌基督的统治之下，那个协助基督徒是要冒极大的风险。
Because under the reign of the Antichrist, to help Christians will take a lot of risk.
因为他们要付出很大代价，甚至是生命的代价。
Because they have to pay a price, even the price of their life.
所以我想到一个圣经里面讲的故事啊。
So I'm reminded of a story in the Bible.
那么在约书亚在攻打这个耶利哥城的时候
When Joshua was attacking the city of Jericho,
那么他派了两个探子到耶利哥去来当时去探望里面的情况。
So he sent two spies to investigate.
那这两个探子就到了一个妓女拉合的家里。
And these two spies went to the house of a prostitute Rahab.
那么拉合呢就把他们隐藏起来，那么当时这个耶利哥城里面的人就没有啊把他们抓到。
So Rahab hid these two spies, so people from Jericho did not catch them.
对，因为拉合所做的，那么最后他免于受到这个全家人被这个以色列人所攻击的消灭的这个下场。
And because of what Rahab did, she and her family were spared of that destruction when the Israelites attacked Jericho.
所以拉合不但得救，而且他全家人都可以得救。
So Rahab was saved, her whole family were also saved.
你看他的得救当然是因为信心的缘故了。
So of course her salvation did come from her faith.
因为在希伯来书第十一章甚至都提到他作为一个信心的榜样，让我们去效法。
Because in Hebrews chapter 11 it mentioned Rahab, her faith that we should follow.
但是他的得救当然也是因着他的行为了。
But her salvation was also based on her good works, her good deed.
因为通过她的行为，我们才知道她有这样的信心。
Because through her deed, we find that she had a faith.
对，这个故事耶稣讲给我们一个什么样的提示？
So what is the instruction for us as Jesus told the story?
那就告诉我们基督徒真的应当有一个怜悯的心。
So it tells us that Christians need to have a compassionate heart.
虽然这个故事在某些地方有很多不懂不同的解释。
So even though people may have different interpretations of this story,
但耶稣的信息却是异常的清楚。
But Jesus' message was extremely clear.
就是他所看重的是什么东西。
That is, what did he emphasize?
他看重的是我们有那个怜悯的心。
He emphasized that we have a compassionate heart.
对，对这些弱势群体的帮助，对有需要的人，我们愿意伸出那援助之手。
Is to extend a helping hand to the disadvantaged and the needy people.
对，没有什么比这些更能够讨主的喜悦了。
Nothing pleases the Lord more than this.
所以我们把这些善事做在这些人的身上，就是做在基督的身上。
So when we practice love and compassion toward these people, we are doing them to the Lord.
那么相反，我们也知道耶稣所痛恶的是哪些事情。
And on the contrary, we also find out what does Jesus hate the most.
那么他对那些恃强凌弱
people who bullied on the weak.
或者对他人的疾苦不闻不问的人
or people who are apathetic toward those who are hungry and thirsty
或者对那些其他有需要的人毫无怜悯之心的，他对这些是深恶痛绝的
or people who are not sympathetic toward those people who have needs, Jesus really resent those people
所以每个人呢，我们都想来到这个世界，要在这世界上留下一些痕迹
So every one of usWants to leave an imprint in this world.
这就是为什么我们有到了那些名胜古迹啊，常常看到有人刻着某某人到此一游啊。
So sometimes when we go to the tourist site, we would find people inscribe their names, say so and so was here.
但是其实真正的青史留名啊，乃是我们可以影响到其他人的生命。
But to actually leave an imprint on this world is that how we influence or how we contributed to the lives of other people.
那么尤其是在当我们离开这个世界之前，我们怎么样做我们的财产的安排？
Especially that we need to think about how do we make our asset management before we leave this world.
那么我们华人的传统一般都是把这个钱财留给后代。
The Chinese would like usually want to leave their inheritance to their children.
其实这不一定是最好的。
This may not be the best.
所以当我们做这些规划的时候，真是我们看到说神给我们一生的祝福，我们应该怎么样能够做这个事情能够最合神的心意。
So when we do make our estate planning, we need to consider what it is that pleases the Lord most.
你知道在美国现在有人开始这个倡导这个捐献叫裸捐的这种倡导，就是 all out donation.
You know, in the United States, some people begin to promote something called all out donation.
所以在他们这些非常富有的人呢，他们现在就是在倡导说在去世之前要把所有的财产都要捐出去。
So what it is that the wealthy people are thinking about donating all they have before they die.
那其中像我们比较知道的像微软的这个创办人比尔盖茨。
Some person well known is Bill Gates.
那么他自己就是成立了一个基金会，是专门要把这些钱财啊，他要捐出去。
He started a foundation and wanted to donate all that he has.
所以他只给儿女留了一小部分的财产。
She only left a very small portion for his own children.
他希望说他的儿女自己应该有自己的职业，自己应该有自己的能力去为社会创造财富。
He desired that his children would have their own career and their own ability to make their own wealth.
你要知道这个比尔盖茨做这个决定是受另外一个人的影响。
And Bill Gates' decision was very much influenced by another person.
这个人呢却是很多人不太了解的。
And this person was not well known to most people.
对，他的名字叫 Chuck Finney.
His name was Chuck Finney.
因为他呢赚了很多的钱做生意。
Chuck Finney made a lot of money from his business.
他是做什么方面生意的呢？
What was his business about?
你看我们出去旅行到了机场都看到那个免关税的商店，那个就是他开始。
When we go to the airport, we can see many tax-free shops.
Yeah, 那些 duty-free.、
Duty-free shops.
Yeah, 那么他的这个公司啊，在全世界开了几千家这样的在机场啊，这种免关税的啊，这种商店。
And his company owned thousands of duty-free shops in the airports.
那么他赚了很多的钱。
So he earned a lot of money.
于是呢，他就是看到这个钱赚了很多之后，他发现他的儿女们花钱啊，开始简直是不可想象的那么那样的奢侈啊。
So after he earned a lot of money, he began to see his children spending money, you know, very wildly.
所以每一个就一下就买几百万的这样的豪宅啊，到处去旅行啊，花了很多的钱。
So every one of them began to buy million-dollar homes and traveling and spending a lot.
所以他开始思想说，他应该把这个财富要回馈社会。
So he began to think that he should give back to the society what he had earned.
所以要做一些有益于人类的事情。
And do something that's profitable to human beings.
于是他就成立了一个基金会。
So he started a foundation.
于是就决定把他所有这大部分赚的钱呢都捐到这个基金会。
So he gave most of the money he earned to the foundation.
他希望在他有生之年把他所有的全钱不捐出去，做些有益的事。
And hopefully that during his lifetime he'll give away all that he earned back to the society.
所以他的观念说，为什么等死后再把钱捐出去呢？
So he asked himself, why should I give money after I die?
当你活着的时候，你就做捐献，他说这是人生中最大的一个乐趣。
He finds it very, very pleasant to donate all that he has while he's alive.
最近呢，他是已经89岁了哈。
So Chuck Finney was about 89 years old now.
他的身体开始很差哈。
He began to be frail.
但是呢，他就把他的这个基金会就正式解散了。
And so he dissembled his foundation.
那么 他在这几十年当中，他总共为全世界的这个慈善事业捐了$80亿。
So he gave away $8 billion from his foundation.
而且他给出这些事情，别人就
And he didn't advertise himself. No, not many people know what he was doing.
那么外界后来发现这样做是因为他在卖出他公司的股票的时候，跟他的以前的伙伴发生了问题啊，以前的伙伴不希望这样，把他告上法庭，所以这个事情才曝光出来。
When people found out was when he had some problem with his partner. His partner sued him at the court.
所以这样一个人，他提倡的这个，我想其实在美国慢慢慢慢造成了很大的影响啊。
So what he promoted created a lot of influence around America.
所以包括比尔盖茨啊，包括这个投资家 Warren Buffett 啊，他们都开始做这样的计划。
So Bill Gates and Warren Buffett have started planning this way.
捐赠给做医学研究啊。
So they give money to medical research.
所以做大学的教育。
To universities education.
设立奖学金啊。
Establish a lot of scholarships.
其实我觉得这是蛮好，以你的名义设立个奖学金，你不真正就青史留名了吗？
So, you know, you establish a scholarship in your own name, then you will leave an imprint in the history.
所以可能很多人说，我真的不像那么多，我们当中有几个人像这么有钱的，我们可以怎么能做到这什么事情？
So many of us would ask, you know, we're not as wealthy as those people, what else can we do?
但是不是说我们完全的没有东西可以给予的啊。
But it's not that we have nothing to give.
因为我认识到我有一个朋友，他的女儿因为去世之后哈，嗯。
So I have a friend whose daughter passed away.
那么他因为是突然去世，他还很年轻哈。
And his daughter passed away very young and very suddenly.
但是呢，他就在生前已经决定了，就是我们在去 DMV 有时申请这个驾照，他就问你会不会捐赠器官嘛，是吧？
And this girl, when she went to DMV, you know, they will ask her, you know, will you donate your organs?
她说她是决定来捐献的哈。
And so she decided to be an organ donor.
所以当她去世之后，她的心脏啊，她的这个眼角膜啊，还有她的身上一些比较好的器官，一下子捐给了好几个人。
So when she passed away, her heart, her cornea, and many other good organs were donated right away to many people.
所以帮助好几个人可以过上一个更健康、更有质量的生活。
So which helped many people to have a more healthy and quality life.
所以我们看到这个故事啊，是讲的耶稣基督的最终的审判。
So this story tells about Jesus' final judgment.
但是它核心的内容，他反复重复的东西，反复强调的东西，乃是让我们说有一颗怜悯的心。
But its core content is a repetition, is to emphasize that we should have a compassionate heart.
我们一生来到这个世界上，不是说我这一生我从这个世界得到了什么，我在一个世界上成就了什么东西。
When we live in this world, we should not think that what can I accomplish or what can I gain from this world.
乃是说我们可以给予这个世界什么，因为我们的一生我们能够改变其他人的生命。
But what we can give to this world, because our life can change someone else's life.
这就是我们的主所最看重。
And this is what our Lord emphasizes the most.
今天呢，这样我们就结束了这个系列的讲道啊。
So today we conclude this series of sermons.
那么耶稣所讲的这个七个故事呢，都在福音书里占有非常特殊的地位。
So the seven story Jesus told played a very important part in the Gospels.
不只是因为他们的篇幅比较长。
Not only because they have a longer content.
也更是因为他们所传递的信息是非常的重要。
Because of the message that they convey are very important.
所以今天我们透过这个绵羊和山羊的比喻，我们再一次认识到耶稣基督审判的权柄。
So today through the story of the judgment between the goat and the sheep, once again we are reminded of Jesus' authority to judge.
那么耶稣基督再来将有三次不同的审判。
So when Christ returns, there will be three different judgments.
将会涵盖地上所有的人。
They cover all the people in this world.
包括基督徒、地上的万民以及所有死去的人。
Which includes the Christians, the nations of this earth, and all the people who passed away.
毫无例外，那么与基督认同是我们在基督面前得救的唯一的标准。
And without exception, to identify with Christ is a standard of our salvation.
这就要求我们啊，要审视今生，定睛来世。
Which requires us to examine our life in this world and also hope for the future.
当以基督耶稣的心为心。
And we should have the heart of Christ.
这要求我们以怜悯的心来对待我们每天所遇到的每一个人。
Which is to have a compassionate heart toward everyone that we face, we meet every day.
愿主保守我们当中的每一个人，让我们将来在基督面前，我们可以得到他的奖赏。
And may the Lord watch over us, that everyone of us will be rewarded before this Bema seat of Christ.
让我们一起低头祷告。
Let us bow and pray.
天父上帝，我们感谢你。
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you.
你不但赐给我们生命，更赐给我们永生的盼望。
You not only give us life, but also the hope for eternity.
我们恳求主你怜悯我们。
We pray that you would have mercy upon us.
让我们善用我们今天人生，我们可以来服侍主。
That we would wisely use our life in this world to serve you.
愿意我们以怜悯的心来帮助我们周围的人。
And may we have a compassionate heart to help the people around us.
愿主你借着我们所做的，可以彰显主耶稣基督的荣耀。
And may you glory be manifested as we help those around us.
我们盼望着主你再来的日子。
And we look forward to the day when you return.
当你得荣耀的日子。
And when you receive all the glory.
我们谢谢主你给我们这样的盼望，求主你帮助我们。
And we thank you for giving us this hope, and we pray for your help.
愿一切的颂赞荣耀归给你。
May all praise and glory be yours.
我们这样的祈求祷告，奉靠耶稣基督名求。
And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.